Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the don't nearly view system deal. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout. Today we are meeting an FPL manager with an interesting story to tell, or is it offering a unique perspective on the game, or both, hopefully. My name is Joe and today I'm joined by Craig Priestley, who has created something that's taken the community by storm before the 2022-23 season. It's a simple concept. It's an FPL journal offering managers the chance to map out their pre-season drafts and from game week to game week. Plus, they can do a bit of colouring in along the way. Craig, welcome. How are you?
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
No, it's great. I'm pleased you could join us, because one of the things I noticed during the summer was I'm always on the lookout for sort of stories around fantasy football, and I think your one was particularly interesting, because you were creating something that I thought was really offering something a bit unique to the audience who play FPL. Because I mean we'll come to this, we'll explain what the book is and get you to talk about that, but I think it's actually slightly changing how managers adapt to the game, and I don't know whether you'll agree with that, but let's put a picture of the book up. Okay, so it's called the Fantasy Premier League Journal. So, how did this come about then?
So, you know, if you're like me, maybe a little bit more like yourself as well, I go through so many pieces of paper during the fantasy season. You know, I've got post-it notes here. I've got screenshots on my phone. Like, the whole of my camera reel is just screenshots, basically, of different fantasy teams. Mm. And I thought, right, surely there's the better way of doing this, you know, let's get it all in one place. So it started out as just, you know, maybe making a little journal for drafts. So that's kind of what it's always going to be originally, mm-hmm. just like a really basic journal, maybe like 30 pages of drafts that people can like have a tinker and get their game week one team down in. And then I was like, you know, why kind of stop there? You know, why not add a bit for pre-season scouting? Mm-hmm. And then maybe some people might enjoy kind of tracking their season as well. So I kind of started building it out, mostly just for myself, to be honest. I put a tweet out on Twitter back in, I think it was in June, you know, just asking the FPL community on Twitter kind of what they thought. And the response was fantastic. And, you know, just to have that many amazing people like yourself, FPL Doodles, a lot of the kind of FPL community commenting and saying, you know, this is a great idea. I thought, right, that's the pressure I need to get it done then.
Definitely. So FPL Doodles did the cover for it, and yourself, you designed the pages within. And is this right? It was a number one bestseller on Amazon. I mean, not the number one bestseller, is more than, but, or is it? I don't know.
It got pretty up there, to be fair, which is fantastic. But it was number one bestseller in Premier League,
okay,
and English football on Amazon.
Oh,
so, and it stayed there in English football for a good week. So yeah, it did really well.
Wow, I mean that's amazing. I know lots of other people, because I posted a bit about it, and other people said, "Wow, what's that? I want to get that." One of the things I liked about it, because it's something I've spoken about on videos and on the Scoutcast, is about a sort of back to basics approach, keeping things simple. You know, as you said, I mean, you've got all the clutter of post-it notes. So people have got on their phone. How many people on their phone have got, you know, a thousand images of all the different drafts they've had, you know, during August? And it gets very confusing. And sometimes it's quite nice to just look at the game week in a basic way, and to look at your pre-season planning in a basic way. So what, one of the ways I use that is I do the colouring in. I like the colouring in bit. And I only colour in a player if I'm certain I'm going to keep them. So that was in the build-up. But obviously, as game weeks go on, I'm quite looking forward to doing the colouring in as each game week go on. And I wanted to show you something in action. You probably saw this tweet. It was today from Andy Nash, who is who consumes a lot of the Fantasy Football Scout content. It's a picture on the screen. You've probably seen with some really good colouring in. Andy's done very well.
Very impressive.
He says he's borrowed his daughter's crayons, and you know, he's criticising his own colouring, but I think it's good, to highlight his Game Week 1 team, which got 79 points. And so he's, you know, put who they were playing, and then he's got them all mapped out, how many points they got. And there's some space there for thoughts on next week. This week, roll the free transfer, but future weeks it will be, you know, players to get in and out, and it sort of nicely sort of maps that out. Do you think that looking at posts from Andy, and you've seen countless others over the summer as well, but do you think that it might alter how managers approach the game in a more sort of simple, logical way? Do you think?
So the kind of original thought about it was, you know, we're on our phones all the time. And to kind of have that headspace and time away from your devices is really important. So the kind of original thought was, you know, having an offline version, you know, there's no point competing with like FPL team, which last year kind of took the community by storm. Right. And it is absolutely fantastic for planning. The thought was, you know, if you're down the pub, maybe you're on the tube, on the underground, on the way home, or maybe, you know, on the toilet doing some FPL planning.
that's usually at a wedding where you say, "Oh, I've just got a nip out," and as you hide on the toilet.
But the thought was to kind of have an offline version, you know. But as you kind of say, back to basics. You know, when I started fantasy, I think I was maybe 16 when I did the first ever one. It used to come by post. And you used to have to like send off by post your picks and all that kind of stuff, and it's nice just having it in that kind of physical format. So you could definitely say it's back to basics. It's just another version, because there's, you know, fantasy football is so huge now, isn't it? It's just kind of grown and exploded over the past few years. And then what I quite like about it is, online you do your fantasy season, and then the next season comes around and it's gone, and I can't remember who I picked, who did well, and it's just all gone, and I've taken no learnings from the previous season. So to kind of have like a catalogue, kind of a reference to the last year, I think that's quite a nice thing that's maybe missing from the fantasy website at the moment.
So you're definitely planning this for next year as well, next summer?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, this one was just kind of my thoughts on what I wanted each week and what I wanted to be included. But I've, so many people in the Twitter community have commented, you know, oh, how about this? Add this, maybe some more draft pages, wildcard pages. So it's going to be bigger and better next year.
Okay. I mean, the colouring in concept. What was I right in thinking? Because I started colouring in. As soon as I saw the blank white shirts, I just wanted to colour them in badly, I hasten to add. But you were saying that wasn't the aim. I thought it was a colouring in book.
I think you kind of started the colouring in virality of the journal. So in my mind, the idea was just to have the shirts there, you know, maybe you could write on it or whatever. I didn't think in my mind, like, it's there for colouring. But that's the beauty of it. It's kind of you put it out there and then see how people utilise it. And, you know, yourself and loads of other people have really enjoyed the colouring in aspect. So, yeah.
I was thinking as well, I mean, it just thought occurred to me as well, because you were talking about the sort of getting off your phones and back to basics approach. And obviously we as FPL managers, especially those with kids, I know there's been some quite funny videos about that that concept of being the absent father or mother, ignoring the children because you're looking at who's just scored or who's got the assist and the bonus and those types of things. So it was good. Last season we spoke to Dave, a Simple Goal, who done a league for parents and kids, so to get their kids involved in it. And it strikes me as well that I think this could be a good way of doing that as well. Kids love colouring in. I mean, I love colouring in. But there could be a way of getting kids to so you've set the team up, but then you could ask them to colour it in. Can you do a nice blue shirt for me? Can you get that sponsor logo in, that kind of thing?
Yeah, definitely. Or, you know, maybe there's a simplified kid-friendly version we could do next year, perhaps. Ooh. As well.
Okay, coming up some good ideas there. So just a bit about your background as well, because there's lots of people in the community, lots of very talented people in the community doing all sorts of things online and offline around the FPL. Lots of great ideas are coming, and like this one as well. So what is your background, though? What do you do outside of FPL?
Sure. So kind of full time, I work in social media. I work as a producer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm always on social, always creating video and content for social media, but, you know, not FPL content. Mm-hmm. I feel like I do enough of it day to day. So yeah. I kind of stay away from it in my free time. But yeah, in my spare time, I'm a avid writer. Mm-hmm. So I write sci-fi books. Huh? And I've been kind of learning how to self-publish through Amazon, learning how to kind of craft and create books, you know, covers, formatting, made absolutely no money on anything over the past few years in my sci-fi writing, but it's still like my passion. But
you've got it's a trilogy of books you've got out.
It's called The United World, if there's any dystopian sci-fi fans out there. Okay. The third in the trilogy comes out in September.
Did you speak to David while he was editor at Fantasy Football Scout, or perhaps still do? Because he's the same, likes fantasy football, but also loves a bit of dystopian sci-fi.
It's funny. We released our first books around a similar time.
Book and, friends. Excellent. So you've been playing FPL for years. You're one of those people that only took it seriously a little while ago. Is that fair to say? So about 2015, you started taking it seriously?
Yeah, it's crazy how those years fly by, isn't it? That, eight years ago? When I started, there wasn't kind of FPL content necessarily out there, apart from a few paper journal, you know, stories on papers, etc. Maybe, I can't remember if Fantasy Football Scout was out back then.
We were, I mean, for about two or three, well, 3 or 4 years, really. Probably one of the only ones, really, around. But obviously, it's proliferated hugely.
Yeah. So, yeah, back in the day, I don't think many people actually knew what they were doing. Mm. And it was just like a fun game. Mm. So that's kind of how I started. Just having a laugh with friends, probably taking minus 20 every week, you know, proper casual approach. And then, you know, I think it's probably when like Let's Talk FPL started streaming. You know, I was one of the first people to watch him, and seeing how he kind of approached it, and then more articles came out, more strategies came out. You kind of learn the optimal way of approaching the season and stuff, and it's super interesting. You know, I'm a poker player as well in my spare time, and I love the kind of analytical, statistical approach that is like you could share between poker and FPL. It's very similar of, you know, making the optimal approach.
Yeah.
And then a certain percentage of the time, the outcome's going to be good.
Yeah. And it's also that gameplay element to it as well. I know particularly one of the topics going into game week one was Kane or Haaland, or Haaland, if I'm in Norway, I'm allowed to say, but I'm not outside of Norway. Haaland. That was a sort of a gameplay move, because you're looking at the strategy of the game. What would you do if so-and-so scored a brace, if one of them didn't, and what would you do? So you're essentially sort of in your head betting on particular outcomes. So yeah, there are great, great similarities there. But you are a Manchester, forget about those good players. You're a Manchester United fan as well. This is designed as evergreen. So this, you might be watching this in two, three years in the future when Manchester United are good. It's currently, they're currently not. It's the 2022-23 season. So, yeah, has that influenced your decision-making? I mean, do you... Are you better when they're better, or does it not work like that?
No. I'm definitely not one of those people who always puts my own team's players in his teams. If anything, I think last season, maybe I had Bruno for a little bit. But yeah, no, I think Man United are in a void for a while. fancy helps, though. You know, when you, when your team's not doing very well, which has been the case for United for, what, 8 years now, it's really fun to have fancy in the background. So, you know, you enjoy watching maybe a Leeds versus Bournemouth because you've got Aronson from Leeds, for example, and you're like, come on, Aronson. So fancy, I feel like, really helps when my team's not doing very well, which is quite often at the moment.
And just before we move on to your career history, because I didn't actually get you on the show because of your career history, but it turns out you're actually pretty good at FPL as well. So that's handy. So we'll talk about that in a sec. But have you got any other sort of FPL books in mind? I think you've mentioned to me a crossword book.
I've just released a football crossword book. I think the Fantasy Premier League Journal is probably the main one. Okay. I'm doing that again next year. Maybe doing a Fantasy Premier League colouring book for kids next year as well, from kind of what we've spoken about.
Yeah, that'd be good. I look forward to that. My kids are moody teenagers, so they won't. But if you've got younger kids, they'll like that a lot. Let's have a look at your career history. So we're looking at this goes back to 2013 when you started playing. And as you said, it's, you know, a couple of poor ranks initially. Then 2015 started playing a bit more seriously and flirting with the top 10K suddenly. And then another top 50K, 700K next year. But then once again, on the edge of the top 10K, 2018, 2019, top 30K, 2020, 21, top 2K. And then last season, another top 40K finish. So you've had a string of very good results, and in particular, a couple of years ago. What happened in 2020-21? I mean, apart from the global pandemic and the world falling apart, your team did well. So what happened there?
I think I kind of approached most, apart from the one-off season, which was like 700K, where... I had a bit of banter with some of my friends in mini leagues, and I went against I basically did the equivalent of kind of not picking Salah at all, whoever that was back then, and going against the grain, and it just completely burning me. Generally I approach it in the same way. And I feel like my results apart from that year are pretty consistent. Mm-hmm. But then it's when things come off. Because things don't always come off. And then the one time they do come off a few weeks in a row, that's when those green arrows hit, I feel.
Yeah.
So I feel like my approach has been very, very consistent, maybe over the past three, 4 years.
Yeah.
I just got the kind of rub of the green, really, in 2020.
So, I guess usual in terms of top tips, usual things help, or are you a mad hit taker and go for the maverick picks, or do you sort of, do it, Captain Salah, keep it nice and steady, don't take too many hits. Which type of manager are you there?
One of the main reasons I've got better at FPL is because I've learned patience. Mm-hmm. Maybe 3 years ago, if I got someone in for a run of four games and the first two games they blank, I'd be like, right, move away from the game plan, get them out. I think over the past couple of years, I've learned, stick to the plan. You got them in for a reason. So, for example, people taking out Jesus after he blanks after one game week, or like myself, I got Bailey in for the first two fixtures.
Yeah.
And he looked terrible game week one, but I got him in for those two fixtures. So I'm going to stick with that, keep to my plan and kind of keep the patience. So, I tend to look at it as like blocks of fixtures, like a lot of managers do, especially with more wild cards kind of this year. I'm kind of looking at it as like blocks of four. So first four game weeks, go hard on that. Second four game weeks, go hard on that. So it's all, for me, it's all about patience.
Okay.
Sticking to the game plan, but then not being too stuck to it. So if someone gets injured or someone looks really poor, you know, have a kind of backup plan in mind.
Well, I mean, for those watching this, perhaps after this season, this is the season with the World Cup in the middle of it, in the middle of winter. So we all get effectively a wild card from game week, whenever it is in November, all the way through till January. So in essence, it's a season where we all have to use our wild card quite early. So we are indeed thinking in terms of 4 week blocks. I tend to do that anyway. For better or worse, but it's a nice simple way of looking at it, really, just looking at fixture runs and going for those 4 to 5 weeks. So yeah, and obviously it's paying off with you there with all those good ranks. Let's have a look at your bus team. So we're going into game week 2 in the 2022-23 season, and this is sort of a snapshot of your thinking. And for those watching this very quickly, I like the way you're getting your book out already to have a look. So most people would be looking at a screen or their phone at the moment, but yeah, you can consult your journal to have a look. So I've gone old school with a bit of digital technology to show your team. You've got the newfangled journal there. So for the benefit of those listening on the podcast version, you have a 4-4-2. With Ramsdale in goal, Alexander Arnold, Matty Cash from Villa, Reece James from Chelsea, Cancelo, and then you've got Martinelli, Luis Diaz, Salah and Bailey across your midfield, and up front you've got Jesus and Haaland as your captain, and on your bench you've got Ward, Andreas, Williams and Archer. So you've got money in the bank here and you're not planning any moves?
Yeah, 1 million in the bank.
Wow.
I had some plans in mind for game week 3 for that million. Mm-hmm. And also wanted a bit of flex in case like Bailey didn't start, mm-hmm. for example, game week 1 to allow to go up to a 6. So yeah, I think it's pretty template, to be honest. Maybe apart from Cash, who I took a bit of a punt on.
Yeah.
Bailey again is basically Bailey versus Neto.
Yeah.
Maybe versus Aronson for that spot. I thought first two fixtures, you know, especially against Everton at home, I'm hoping Villa might improve a little bit. But yeah, so I think it's pretty template with a couple of...
So what have you written in your notes for this? I mean, I know you're saying it now, but have you literally written that in your...
There we go. So this is okay. For those watching the video, that's my notes for last week.
You've given yourself 4 out of 5 star rating?
Yeah.
So how did you do in the previous week? But how much did you get?
73.
Nice.
Decent start. Bailey at risk of bench after one mediocre game week.
Okay.
But it is his birthday this week, so I'm kind of hoping he gets the birthday goals.
And he did very well against Everton this time last season.
Oh, brilliant.
But that'll be famous last words if you're watching this after the weekend when he doesn't.
Yeah. In my notes, I've got Zinchenko with a big question mark. He looks really good, but I've already got 3 Arsenal, so he might have to wait for a wild card. Looking at who I move Bailey to, whether it's Neto, Podence, Aronson, mm-hmm. or another, and then when I make the move of Cash to a 5.5, which at the moment is game week 3, I think, to Perisic.
Yeah.
That's the kind of plan for the million in the bank.
Yeah, I'm looking at... For my team, sort of said I've got Bailey as well, and I've got Mason Mount. But I think I might just do a simple Bailey to Dewsbury Hall, nice and boring. That's what I've sort of penciled in my journal at the moment. But yeah, I look at your team and I think, wow, you've got a million in the bank and your team looks better than mine. And I'm not quite sure how I've managed to avoid that situation. But we all have the same team in game week 1 that we, you know, all the same advantages. When do you plan to wildcard this season? Do you have a plan in mind?
Not necessarily. Maybe when there's a fixture shift around game week 8, 9, somewhere around there. But I think the season was a unique one because I thought, right, I'll go hard on the first few fixtures. If it falls flat, I can wildcard game week 3 if I want to. Normally I try and save it for as late as possible, but this year, whenever it needs it, really.
Okay. All your players are at home this week, so it should be fine. And you've got a good captain choice as well. Craig, thanks so much for joining me. And it was great that you got your book out as you were doing that, because that's a point I wanted to bring forward, really. It's not just sort of a plug for any old book, because it's something that might get people thinking, even if they don't buy the book, they might just get thinking about going back to a bit of paper and pen, going a bit old school, mapping it out, doing a bit of their own colouring in, and just having a look at the game weeks as they go by without being on our screens all the time. Free up a bit of time for the family and all those types of things. Craig, thanks so much for joining me. Just before we go, is there anything else you wanted to add at all? We think we covered most things.
Yeah, really happy. Thank you so much for having me. Big time watcher of Fantasy Football Scout. And it was a privilege to be on.
Thanks a lot. I hope you've enjoyed that. I hope you listened. I just wanted to remind people to make sure they subscribe and like. The subscribe button is really vital, for us and for you as well, to keep in touch with all our, with all our videos and all the team updates and things like that. And do press like as well, because the algorithms and all of the complicated digital things, the non-book, colouring in book form. They haven't done a colouring in book version of YouTube yet, as far as I'm aware. But maybe that's for later. But do subscribe, do like, and thanks so much for joining me, Craig. And thanks so much for watching and listening.
Cheers.